Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And I have to tell you how much I look forward to these times when we get together and just swap some thoughts about what's happening out there, how you feel, how I feel, touching one another. Isn't it marvelous? I want to talk about something that I think is extremely important, and that is how what is happening out there is some really well-intentioned, dedicated light workers are being interfered with by the dark. And I'd like to give a little example of that. On October the 14th, you know that this expected decloaking didn't happen. And yet there were those, if you were listening on the Internet, there were so many messages about it. So many people believed it. They were waiting for it. Didn't happen. They were disappointed. That's just one example. And you might even have noticed that in a very subtle way that some of the channelers that you are accustomed to and love are bringing forth some things that just does not feel right on that internal radar that you have. And so as I was watching all of this, I had made a request to Lord Metatron to give me some thoughts about this. In other words, there are also good souls out there who, without their intent, have actually moved in and some of their energy has harmed other people. And so this is what Lord Metatron said about that. And I'm working closely, as you know, with Archangel Mikael and some of the other masters, and lately have been working very close with Lord Metatron or Archangel Metatron. And by the way, let me tell you what the difference is between the two as he explains it to me. Lord Metatron is his office, so he is definitely an archangel, but when he speaks of himself as Lord Metatron, he is speaking from his office that he holds. And that office is, he holds the keys of consciousness between humankind and the Creator of all. And so this is a very special responsibility that he has, and it's why he is so interested in answering the kinds of questions that you pose to him. And so at our website, www.metatronminutes.com, there is a place where you can send your request to Lord Metatron that has to do with questions of a general nature, and he does answer them, and we answer them through the newsletter. So the newsletter is free, and if you want to hear some of these responses that he is making to the people out there with regards to the concerns and the questions that they have, feel free to go there, register for the letter, hear some of the most remarkable answers that he is giving out to people's questions. And again, it is his concern because he holds the keys of consciousness between humanity and the Creator of all. And so I had some firsthand situations with regards to people being influenced by the dark. We know of some situations that were being prophesied, so to speak, that have never come to pass. And so I felt that this particular answer really did need to be addressed today. And he felt that it was important also. And so what he is talking about is the energies that we are in now, that we are in higher frequency, vibrational frequency energies. And at the higher frequency, you can imagine that that energy is moving faster. The lower energy is moving slower, of course. And so he says that the higher the energy becomes, the faster it becomes. And so people are living in a world today where, and he showed me how consciousness blinks on and off, that consciousness is not continuous. Even though it seems to us that it is, it actually blinks on and off very rapidly. And modern physics has explained that. So if that is something that you're curious about, you could probably do a search on the Internet and find something on consciousness and how consciousness blinks on and off. Actually, it is extremely fascinating in the sense that our consciousness is not on every second of the day. It does blink on and off. So he was showing me how consciousness blinks on and off. And it does this very quickly. And that's how we experience life in a dense world like we are in. And because the world is so dense, it's the only way that we're going to be able to experience it is to allow that consciousness to blink on and off. And so how Lord Metatron explained it is that in a lower wave, and we're talking about frequency here, that you blink on for a longer line, so to speak. In other words, it's the on blink is a little bit longer on a lower vibrational wave. And if you look up the line where he says where the frequency is higher, the blink goes on even faster, which means in a lower dimension, the person's consciousness exists longer. And in a higher dimension, there's a shorter space. So in the shorter space, it is as if you're holding onto your consciousness for a shorter duration, and it is in between that blinking on and off where the shorter duration is that the dark is able to move in between that sequence. So, you know, that's kind of an interesting question because we might say, well, you know, how in the world is the dark able to move into our dimension? It moves in between the sequence of the blinking on and off. Now, they can move in between the sequence at a lower rate, but also the person, the individual who is experiencing reality in that lower rate of is more conscious. They can become more conscious of the change. So what he's saying basically is at the denser dimension, the lower dimension, that you are more conscious of the dark as it enters into the space. So if you watch it and you're being influenced, you're more conscious of the influence at the lower vibration. At the higher vibration, it's harder to become aware because we're holding on to that reality for a shorter period of time. And the higher you go in vibration, the more subtle it becomes. In other words, this intrusion into your world by the dark becomes more subtle the higher you go in vibration. So the vibration of a very high individual can be more compromised the higher you become. Now, there are some other things that's involved in this. We have an individual who is working, attaining a higher vibration. They're not as guarded because they think they're doing all they need to do. They protect themselves. They feel they're on the right path, and so they're not aware of it because there might be a wake of darkness around. They don't become aware of it. They're concentrating more on where the heart is leading them. So, okay, they've got a higher vibration. They're not as guarded because they think they're protecting themselves or on the right path. They're not as much aware of the dark because they're concentrating on where their heart is leading them. And so there's many well-meaning individuals, they've lost a perspective. And it's not because their intention isn't to take them on the right path, but they're in a new vibrational level, and they're not as aware of how it feels because the dark felt differently on a lower dimension. And I'd like to just kind of go over that again because I think it's a very interesting thought. How one feels, that sensitivity to dark energy, it feels different on a lower vibration. And so when you go to a higher vibration, you're not as aware because that sense, that trigger, that feeling, that, in a sense, discernment changes. So on a higher dimension, the dark has a different sense in your energy. And so until the individual starts to recognize that, they fall into a trap, and this is what's happening today. We have souls out there who are channeling, or maybe souls who are not channeling. They're not aware of that sense of the energy of the dark because it feels differently. Now, in regards to that, Archangel Metatron, I said Archangel Metatron because I wasn't speaking of from his office at the moment as he is pronouncing truth. I kind of caught myself doing that, which is interesting. He asked me to set up a free conference call about discernment. And his very first call that he made last month was on that topic of discernment. This is his first newsletter went out about it, his first conference call that he was teaching about it, and he feels that it is another time to start talking about discernment. And so for this next month in December, coming up on December 5th, I have at his request set up a free conference call for the lessons of discernment, yes, but also the topic of prosperity and being able to materialize that. And so, as I see it, there's two elements here that you out there perhaps who are listening to my voice or listening to it in the archives, there are two things at the moment that so many people have questions about they need to work on, and that is the discernment. How do we know what we're hearing is actually truth? And the other point is materializing finances, materializing your goals. I'm hearing a lot from people today not being able to, or shall we say, being challenged to materialize their needs. What you need to really survive, to live joyously. Our phone number here, give us a call for information about your own soul journey, perhaps, 877-876-5227. And as we're waiting for some people to call and ask their own question, it reminds me of something that I hear on the Internet an awful lot. There are so many people out there who are spiritually minded, and they think that if a person is working for spirit, that everything that they give should be free. And that would mean that the individual who has dedicated their life and their soul's purpose to working for spirit would, by its very nature, if they gave everything free, would live in poverty. And there is a skewed thought about that in some areas, my dear friends. And it's because when you write a check out of your checkbook, your bank expects the money to be in there. Isn't that amazing? I'm so amazed at that, that our bank still expects funds to be in there when you write a check. So when you find somebody who is giving you the spiritual nourishment, the guidance, the putting home out there for you, and I'm not talking about just myself here. I'm talking about all of those people that you come in contact with, that you love, that you have found has given you some real spiritual sustenance. Provide for them, too. You know, when you purchase their products or pay for their conference calls, They are certainly giving to you. And the only way that we have an exchange here today in this dimension is they need the resources also. So if you feel sometimes in your heart when you see something, you know, a conference you'd like to attend, conference calls or whatnot, understand that the money, the resource that you are paying for that is supporting those of the light who are dedicated to working for spirit. And I thought that I would mention that because I get those letters sometimes from the public, and I'm sure not you lovely ones that are out there listening, but I do hear it a lot, that if you're working for spirit, it should be done for free, and it just doesn't work that way. And if in your heart you have felt that way about some spiritual light worker, give it some thought. Evaluate your thoughts. Well, you know, why do I feel that way? And then perhaps you can find your way to some truth in the matter. Well, my friends, this is what I wanted to discuss today, and we have moved through that. And I know that there are people out there who are listening. Give us a call, 877-876-5227. And we are 20 minutes into the program, and if you have a call and you find our question, you finally decide to call us, well, you'll hear those at BBS saying, she's leaving, she's getting off of her show right now. And you're out in the cold, so get those little fingers dialing, 877-876-5227. While we're waiting, I'm going to talk to your heart, those who perhaps have not listened to my show until today. There's a lot of people who channel. There's a lot of people who bring information from spirit from the other side. And I wanted to give you some thoughts as to my reach, how I do it. If I am working with a cherubim, and I do, I am a cherubim myself, incarnate in this frame, this physical entity that I call Carolyn Evers, though there is just a small part of that in this body. Most of it is there in the center of the cosmos with Source. Some of it is on the other dimensions as I came down to this place. And we have a caller, and I'll explain later how we work with that. And your name, please.
Yes, hi, Carolyn. This is Eleanor.
Oh, Eleanor, I recognize your voice. How beautiful it is, Eleanor.
Oh, thank you.
What can we do for you today? You see, Eleanor is on our conference calls, and we just love having her. She's a beautiful soul, as I'm sure some, all of you out there are also.
Oh, thank you. I received your email, and I would like to know what Lord Metatron would like to say to me by my soul reading.
Well, sweetheart, we can't do those on the air because that's a 45-minute reading that Archangel Metatron gives with people. And
okay.
But you can certainly ask a question. And let me just back up a little and explain to those out there who are listening. We have Lord Metatron wants to connect with people for soul healings. And it is amazing the breadth and the depth of the work that he is doing with people, releasing patterns, for instance, giving guidance on the past and in the future. And if you are interested in that, what we do is you can go to the website, MetatronMinutes.com, and sign up for one of those readings. There is a charge, but what happens is we connect on the phone, and for 45 minutes, Lord Metatron will work with you on this, the soul healing, and it's a live reading. It's a live visit. I don't even like to use that word reading because it really is, and I connect to Lord Metatron. The individual is on the other line, and I'm just a conduit. He speaks through me and gives that information, and the person on the line can ask any question. Now, Eleanor, we can't do that on the phone, but what you can do is ask a question, and we'll be glad to get the answer for you if we can. And was there something pressing in your mind that you would like to know, either about your past, you know, the mission
yes.
today? What did you want to know, dear?
What is intriguing me, what is my connection with the Master Thoth, you know, Egypt?
Okay, let me understand, let me see if I understand your question. Is your question, you want to know what your connection is to ancient
with them?
Egypt? Is
yes.
Tell me, dear, why do you feel that you have this connection? I'm curious. What makes you think there's a connection?
Well, every time I see the Egyptian programs on TV, I mean, I am glued to the TV, and I've watched those reruns over and over again, and it's like I'm just amazed every time I watch it. And I'm saying there must be more to it. And even on the website, when I see a message from the Egyptian, it's like I feel like sometimes I'm actually there, but what am I doing there?
Eleanor, when you've done this, have you ever looked down and trying to see what you were wearing?
What are, you know what?
Clothing. The clothing, darling.
Clothing. I just have the feeling, and I don't know if I'm remembering this or I
think. Tell me what you think, sweetheart. What are you wearing?
A robe, a white robe.
Does it have little pleats in it?
That I can tell you. Oh, the pleats. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I want you right now to look down. Does that white robe have little pleats in it?
Yes. Oh, my.
Because that's what I'm seeing. Okay. We've got the picture and we're connected. Okay, now, is this robe from your waist all the way down to the ground? Like
yes, all the way down.
Yeah. And there's little tiny pleats in this white material all around, isn't it? Very small.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? My desktop on the computer, there's an angel. And those pleats are coming clearer and clearer. There was no pleats.
Now, I want you to look down at the bottom of the skirt.
Uh-huh.
And stick your foot out a little bit from under the skirt. What are you seeing? What
sandals.
Are you wearing on your feet? Uh-huh. And what color are they, darling?
Kind of sand, goldish.
They're not just goldish, darling. They're gold.
Oh, they are gold?
They are gold. You're wearing golden shoes, and that it's and it comes out like a tiny little point, doesn't it?
Oh my! Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh my!
Yes, you got the little gold sandals.
Yes,
of Pharaoh's daughter, my darling.
I'm his daughter. Oh. Oh, my.
What you need to do is go on the Internet and maybe do a search. I don't know, Pharaoh's clothing, Pharaoh's shoes. I know in Egypt, in
mm-hmm.
the museum there at Cairo, they have samples there of the slippers of the royal family. In the King Tut exhibit.
Uh-huh.
Now, just don't say uh-huh so fast.
Yes.
I want you to listen to my words, darling.
Okay.
When I say King Tut or Tutankhamun, I forget how he pronounced his name.
King Tut.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I want you to put your essence inside of your body and tell me what it feels like when I say can cut?
My whole body is vibrating.
Vibrate away, darling.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Why is it vibrating?
Oh, now, come on, you tell me. Why do you think your body's vibrating? The little white pleats, the gold slippers, and you're vibrating. What do you think's going on here?
Oh, my. Yes, my own body is like, it's vibrating. Oh, gee, that explains why I am glued to that TV.
Let's go for another question. You want to go for another question?
Yeah, what did I do?
No, Eleanor, I'm trying to lead you someplace, darling. Okay, as you're standing there, I want you to see, I'm trying to take you to a place here. And think of yourself back in the time of King Tut.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if we can stretch your mind a little bit. You're relaxed, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yes.
Do you sense, I want you to think on the word, my sisters. And you see your sisters around you. My sisters.
Well, see, that's what I have been envisioning, and I don't know if I seen it or I'm remembering. I see.
Don't question, Nat. Don't question. Tell me.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask a question. What are you seeing?
What I'm seeing is that I'm walking, and there's sisters. I imagine they look like sisters around me, and all look the same.
I'm going to give you another word. Tell me how you feel when you hear this. Armana.
Oh, what a feeling in my heart. It's like connected.
Of course you're connected.
It's me?
Yeah, you're connected. Now I'm going to give you another word. Tell me how you feel. Akhenaten.
I've heard that word.
Akhenaten.
Oh, my. I see a face in front of me, but I can't place it.
You can place it.
Oh.
Let's keep going with this, Eleanor.
Oh.
Akhenaten.
I see a face in front of me. Is that me? Is that me?
I don't know. Tell me what the face looks like.
It's very soft and, I see it. Big eyes, very soft, loving eyes. Oh, it's right in front of me.
A long face?
Yes. That's what I want to, I'm trying. I see this face in front of me.
That was your father, sweetheart.
Oh, my. Yeah, big eyes, but very soft and loving, and Oh, my. I seen that name somewhere. I can't remember where I seen it.
My hearts were living next to it.
I what?
You were living right next to it.
Really?
Here's what I want you to do.
I'm living right next to it.
When Akhenaten walked the earth, sweetheart, you were living with him. You were his daughter. I can't be any more
clear. Okay. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Here's what I want you to do, Eleanor.
Yeah.
Do a search for Pharaoh Akhenaten.
Okay.
And look up, see what you can find out about the family.
Yes.
The sisters. They're all connected. Uh-huh. Akhenaten, Pharaoh Akhenaten, the sisters, King Tut. Let me ask you another word and see what you think. How do you feel when I say this? Queen Nefertiti.
I am glued. Oh, my. Oh, my.
That was Mom, honey.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my, my. No wonder I'm glued to the TV. I'm watching reruns over and over again. Oh, my. And I'd love to go to Egypt. I haven't still didn't get there. Someday I hope to go there. But
you just might.
Those pyramids. I mean, you know, and the whole concept, you know. I mean, that whole area, it's like it's pulling me, and I'm saying, what did I do there? I mean,
well,
I love
the temples of Egypt in the old Egypt were very dark, and the only one that could go into what would be called the Holy of Holies, the very central part of the temple, was the priest, and they included the people. But when Akhenaten built Amarna, the temple was so different. There were walls to the temple, and there was no roof on the temple. It was open to the sun. And the Akhenaten, Pharaoh Akhenaten and Queen Nefertiti and the daughters, they worshipped in the temple, and the sun rays came down upon them. And that was the big difference between the old and the new of that particular day. Now, I want you to imagine yourself inside of that new temple. See yourself in there. See if you can see the walls. See if you can see the beautiful carving, the beautiful artwork on the interior of the temple, and the sun's rays coming down upon you. See if you can place yourself there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Okay, do you see something in your hand? Looks like a rattle.
Oh, my.
Do you see it?
Yes.
And can you see yourself shaking the rattle? And there were sounds, vibratory sounds, that would come out. It was called, in English now it's the cistern. I don't know what they called it then. It probably had a different sounding name. But can you see yourself shaking that?
Yes.
That was the sound, the vibratory sound that they made when they shook the rattle. And that vibratory sound went out in their adoration and carried them to all there is, source.
Oh, my.
And Pharaoh Akhenaten was the one that carried the Christ consciousness.
Oh.
And so you sailed with him on that vibratory note.
Oh my goodness.
In your worship of all there is.
Is this the music I've been hearing lately?
Well, I don't know the music that you've been hearing, darling, but those in that rattle, there's like metal pieces in there that when you shook it, they would clink against one another and set up a vibratory note. And
that's what I heard yesterday.
Well, then, what you are doing is you are remembering. And what I want you to do is sit in meditation,
mm-hmm.
see yourself shaking the rattle,
mm-hmm.
and then watch yourself float up to source. You can
okay.
do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to call me back next week, and I want you to tell me of your success.
Okay.
Because what is waiting there for you, Eleanor, is much information that you can bring back to Earth with that.
Oh, my. Okay, so I sit in meditation, shaking the rattle, and bring it, you know, get with the sound.
Get with the sound.
Go to source, uh-huh.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'll let you know on the conference call.
No, call me next week and tell me.
Uh-huh.
I want you to report back.
Oh, yes.
I want you to tell me that you made that trip.
Yes.
Because, my dear Eleanor, this is what your soul is prompting you to do now. You see, all of this is not just about remembering the past. What all this is about is, what did I do in the past? How can it serve me now? And see, you did that in the past. You know how to do it. It's in your memory bank. And so
mm-hmm.
you do it again to serve yourself, but to
mm-hmm.
serve others.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's been my calling all my lifetime, I guess, all my life.
Well, you just get working, darling, and you call me next week and let me know how it went.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, you see, my friends, what happened between Eleanor and myself just then is how you take a wispy memory and how you turn it into something that is going to serve you today. That is why meditation is so important. And when I say meditation, it is getting your consciousness, connecting your consciousness to a higher vibratory wave. Well, how do you do that? You've got to close down your consciousness and sail on the trip. And what is your name, please?
Hello, this is Drew.
I didn't hear you, dear.
Oh, this is Drew. Can you hear me now?
Drew?
Yes.
Did you say Drew? Okay, Drew. Wasn't that interesting, Drew?
It was. In fact, I sort of resonated with Akhenaten, and it prompted me to call just to find out if you sensed anything. And before I ask that, I wanted to thank you for the emails that you've been recently sending out. I just got those. Are you
talking about the one from the Metatron Minutes?
Yes. About the Jesus narrative.
Oh, yes, they are beautiful.
Yes, I haven't ordered mine yet, but I'm trying to find it. You know how you open an email and you try to find it again? You're somewhere in there.
Well, let me tell you, Drew, if you can't find it, don't get frustrated yourself. Just go to MetatronMinutes.com, and there's a place there where you can order the Yeshua sessions. And what we do on that, Dr. Presser, well, first of all, Yeshua gives, and Archangel Metatron gives the questions, and then about Yeshua's life, his soul journey.
And he questions me, and then I do, just like we did this with the previous caller, we bring down the information that has to do with the questions, and then they are recorded and put on the internet, and people can download those sessions, and they're quite remarkable because there's information in there that people are just not aware of, and it's so beautiful. And it's not that we have put the questions together, but rather the questions have come from Spirit, and then I channel the answers from Spirit. So how's that for something?
Oh, it's amazing. Just to you know how the intuitive says that we are the Holy Grail? I mean, it's just right there, you hear it. So it's just that affirmation that you often hear.
Well, when you're talking about the Holy Grail, one of the questions really does deal with that, and it deals with the sacred relationship, and it explains what the Holy Grail was and how it is attained through the sacred relationship of a man and a woman, and it is just beautiful.
Well, I was just getting back to the Egyptian. I went to Egypt a couple years ago, and it was like literally returning home. I just wondered what you sensed, or did you see any from that last caller
I'm going to ask you some questions, Drew. What about that period interested you the most? I know the first time I got on a ship and went down the Nile, I mean, I knew I had been on the Nile so many times, and it was this sense of coming home. The waters of the Nile felt to me like home base. Being in Egypt, what in particular about, because what I'm doing here is delving into your own consciousness, not using mine at the moment, because I want to draw it out of you, what you, the knowledge that you have. And so when you were in Egypt, what about Egypt was most remarkable or you felt most connected with?
Probably the Temple of Dendera, when you went
I know Dendera, darling, I know it. What about Dendera in particular attracted you?
I think it was the intricate reliefs that were there. It's almost as if they were speaking to me.
On the ceiling or on the walls?
Yes, all over. I mean, it was just full of energy. It was almost like a living stone. It was like literally, it was alive.
Well, you know, now are you talking about the painting on the ceiling at Dendera?
Yes, there's the astrological.
That's the one I'm questioning. Okay.
Right.
Unfortunately, that particular picture is a duplication of the original. You know, this is so sad that museums have come in and taken the original artwork. But the original artwork, I believe, is in a museum in London. Someplace.
It is. Right.
The original. Yeah. And so what they had there was. Or what they have there now at Dendera is a copy, and isn't that a sacrilege?
It was. You know, I really sensed when I was up on that rooftop, because it's sort of like off the beaten path on the roof line. I sensed that directly in front of me was an open portal. I mean, it was literally like you could just walk in there, and it was still active.
Okay. Do you want to explore that, or which one? Drew, we can't explore both because I've got like 10 minutes. Which one of those do you want to explore? What felt like the portal, or do you want to explore the celestial ceiling painting?
Let's do the portal.
Now, you're going to have to call me next Sunday so we can do the celestial painting. You know that, don't you?
I know. I will.
Actually, there are several portals on that land. You know that ISIS taught there, but I'm going to give you a word, and you tell me how this resonates with you. Hathor.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I was hearing chants.
Okay, I'm going to say it again, and then I want you to tell me how you feel when you hear this. Hathor.
Hathor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I hear it, I mean, I sense a real real like a healing connection there. It was like a temple of worship, as well as just their presence was there. But I don't think I was a half bar.
Didn't suggest that you did, that you were.
Right.
I just wanted to know how you felt when you heard it, and that's exactly what it is, because that was Hathor's temple of healing.
Right. I remember their depictions are one where they have very oval heads and almost
right.
Shrek-like ears.
Yes. That was their portal.
Oh, that was their portal.
Mm-hmm.
I can sense that.
They came to heal. Now, since we're talking about this, Drew, I want you to go back to that moment if you can. You're on the roof. You're standing at the portal. You're waiting for Hathor. Can you picture yourself there?
Absolutely.
I want you to look down and tell me how you are dressed.
All I can see is, it almost looks like I have sandals. I'm just like in a cream-colored or white-colored, almost like a silk type of it, garment.
Yes.
Not a tunic. It's like a sort of a silk robe.
Has a belt around it?
I don't really see a belt. I mean, it's sort of like a, it's got a lot of lines in it. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like a quilted type of ribbed garment, what I sense. Almost like
now a... Look up at your head.
Right?
Your head.
I see.
Describe
I see black.
It.
I see like cornrowed hair.
Who do you think you are?
I don't think I'm ISIS.
No, darling, you're not ISIS.
I'm not wearing the high heels there. I don't know. I sense. I don't think I'm a half. I sense like a masculine energy.
You were masculine, yeah.
I sense like a very thick row of hair in that, you know, almost like you can picture an Egyptian sense. And I almost sense some type of crown, not an ornate crown, but like a band in my head, around my head. But I don't know who
and
I
up
am.
At the portal. Okay, up at the portal, what are you doing when Hathor comes?
When Hathor comes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see myself doing anything, honestly. I see myself sort of waiting there.
Of course you're waiting there. You're waiting for Hathor.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
I was the greeter then. Maybe I was the greeter. maybe I was the bellhop.
Yeah, you're a little bellhop there. You had a little flashlight waiting to steer in her seat. Right, there you go.
She could be Akhenaten's daughter, and I'm the bellhop. Somebody's got to do the linens.
No. Don't you just love it, Drew?
Yeah. I wonder if they gave complimentary soaps in the pyramid.
Are there anyone else? I want you... Okay, so you're facing the portal. You're waiting for Hathor. And now I want you to look around behind you. The roof is a right fair-sized roof. And so you're there at the portal waiting for Hathor. And anybody else up on the roof with you?
You know what? I think that they were coming in to do something in that astrological room. I think I was assisting the priestess.
Isn't this fun?
Yeah, I just got it. I think I was sitting there sort of like guiding her to a temple or an astrological stargazing or something.
Now, you're going to call back next week and we can explore that one, huh?
It's somehow connected.
I said you're gonna.
Do you sense that? Do you sense that with the cornrows?
You don't really think I'm going to give you the answer, do you?
No.
I might lead you to the answer and pull it out of you.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could think. I mean, I see a masculine presence, but I don't know the names of these people. You know, I know Astop.
Well,
Maybe
how
that was
about
the original IHOP, Pharaoh IHOP of the pancakes.
So you see, it's not the name is not important.
Yeah.
What's important is, what was I doing there? What kind of knowledge did I bring forth there? And am I in a place right now that I need to know that? Will it help me now?
I think I need to explore that more. I'll have to call next week, because I definitely sense that I was there as the Hathars were coming through the tunnel, and I was more of a way shower and directing them where to go and what initiations were taking place at that time. Because they didn't
now here's,
know.
I'm going to give you some homework, Drew. I'm not sitting here doing this for nothing, you know.
Okay.
I want you to meditate during the week from now until next week and see what kind of information you can bring back, because I truly think this is important for you. You willing to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Drew, you do that. You call back next week, and we will see the rest of this journey. Isn't it a marvelous ride?
It is. And it's just amazing. It was prompted by the Akhenaten. It's amazing.
Okay, Drew, it was great talking to you. Now you meditate, and I'll talk to you next week.
And I'll visit the website and get those reloaded. Okay, Carolyn.
Oh, you really need to, because I have to tell you, they're very beautiful.
I will. Thank you again. Have a wonderful week. Bye, Carolyn.
You too, Drew.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, my friends, you know, we've gotten down to the hour. We probably have about 2 minutes here. And what Drew was talking about was Yeshua's Journey of the Soul. And this series, we only have four installments. There's more coming. But it starts out with how Yeshua's soul was created, when it was created, what his responsibilities were as he did the work of Source, what his connection to Earth was and is, and, of course, his the sacred relationship with Mary Magdalene takes us through the crucifixion, which I will tell you is just so beautiful. And then after the crucifixion, well, you know, what was the purpose of all of this? What did Yeshua do? And what was the connection to ascension today? And so, my friends, our time has come to an end. Sign up for our newsletter, Metatron. The newsletters really are very good. And I will talk to you next week. And so when I come here to touch you, I hope you are there, ready to receive the embrace. And until then, this is Carolyn Evers, sending you off with her love. Goodbye for now.